After a year like we've just experienced, you may look forward to the day we turn the page to a new calendar year, hopeful that 2021 will bring something new, something to hope for, something to smile about. Maybe you need someone to tell you everything is going to be okay. You need someone to tell you the future won't be filled with your worst case scenarios. Join me for my new Bible study, She Smiles Without Fear, Proverbs 31 for Every Woman. In this study, you'll learn to trade your fear of the future for joy in the present. Instead of merely crossing your fingers and hoping that 2021 will be different, I want to offer you a reason to believe 2021 can be the year you smile without fear. Together, let's trade the what-ifs of tomorrow for God's purposes today. Together, let's become women who smile without fear. Pre-order She Smiles Without Fear right now at shesmilesbiblestudy.com and begin watching video session one immediately. Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Best Day Ever podcast. I am so glad you are here. And if you are just joining us this month, we are in the middle of a series called She Smiles Without Fear. And I have just loved having conversations with women across the country from all different places who are here this month to share their She Smiles Without Fear stories. And I am so excited about the guest we have on the show today. Joining us today is my friend Kendra Pope. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Kendra. I love the way she describes herself. She describes herself as a motion picture waiting to happen. And it's, you know, it probably has some comedy elements in it, Kendra, because I know you have seven kids. And when you have seven kids, comedy happens whether you're looking for it or not. But Kendra's story inspires those disoriented by life's what Kendra describes as sucker punches. And it inspires those who are disoriented with those things to move forward no matter how slowly. And I love that piece of what Kendra brings. She just encourages people. Sometimes we want to move forward fast and we feel like we're failing if we don't. But she uses her life story to encourage people to move forward no matter how slowly. Having grown up in a single-parent home, Kendra has experienced more tragedy in 20 years than most experience in a lifetime, including the near-fatal, life-altering car accident of her sister, the death of her high school sweetheart, the disowning of her biological father for marrying outside of her race, and the recent suffering of her son, Judah, with an unknown and currently untreatable condition called FIRES. Through death, unexpected tragedy, unknown illness, and racism, Kendra is never without hope, though. In Christ, Kendra believes everyone can find the hope they need to face any sucker punch this life has to offer, and she most often wears a genuine smile, is full of joy, and continually encourages audiences and individuals wherever she goes. I kind of feel like I just preached, telling just talking about your bio, Kendra, but welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here with you, Katie. Listening to this kind of, you know, ministering to me, I'm like, yes, yes.
Oh, I love that. I mean, it was just, man, that was just so full. And you're right. I mean, some of the things that you have already lived through in your young life. I'm really interested to hear about your She Smiles Without Fear story that you have to share today. You have so many things you could talk about. So yeah. What are we gonna talk about today, Kendra?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about my She Smiles Without Fear story with my son Judah, because it's just the most recent, it's the most fresh. And as you heard, you know, through my life, there's been a lot of adversity and difficulty that God has really carried and sustained me through. But this one is most recent, and it began 3 years ago. It's been such a process. My She Smiles Without Fear story, and I'm still in the midst of that process with Jesus. But it began with a trauma 3 years ago, and that was that my worst fear actually happened. And navigating everything that happens through that, knowing that God allowed that in my life. And what happened was my son, a severe form of epilepsy began in his life, and we are blessed to still have him with us today. But he was 5 years old, and seizures started after a normal every day. I wouldn't even have flinched at illness, a stomach bug. For some reason, his immune system response overreacted, and he began with seizures, which sent us to the local children's hospital by helicopter. And we were in that children's hospital for 100 days with our son in a medically induced coma. We did not know if he would wake up. As you can imagine, it was very challenging for our family, for each of us individually. And we did make it through that season. The Lord definitely has carried us literally. It's something that you really can't walk through yourself. There's a supernatural provision that God provides for his children. The grace that abounds in any situation is just what we experienced. And, you know, we've been home. It's the third year now that we've been walking through this. Judah requires 24-hour care. He's immobile and nonverbal, but he still does respond to us and smile. And he can't use his arms and legs, but we work out every day. We stretch him out and keep those joints loose. But my greatest fear of, you know, my child having a severe form of illness, or my other greatest fear, which is just the loss of a loved one, which I think resonates with a lot of people, came to pass. And I have seen God sustain me moment by moment, Katie, through that fear. And it's not something that I know that I could walk through on my own. Even day to day now, I am dependent on the Lord in ways that for joy, for peace, for not having fear in ways that I never imagined, because my day-to-day struggle with caring for his needs even hits some of my fears. He has a trach, which is just a small device in his throat to help make sure that his airway doesn't get blocked. And he eats through a G-tube, which I never saw in my future. As you can imagine, when we understood how we were bringing our sweet boy home from the hospital, and every picture, every vision that I had imagined for the future of our sweet family was absolutely vanished. I mean, it just wasn't there anymore. And the Lord has done so many things just to help me. And one of those things is giving me perspective, supernatural perspective, eternal eyes. The way that my She Smiles Without Fear story plays out is that every day, as I draw near to Jesus in the morning, he gives me the eternal perspective I need to face what I have to face in just our everyday life now. There is fullness of joy. There is abundant life, even in facing my greatest fear. So, Katie, I know that you have your book out, and I read the part where you said, I had to spend less time doing and more time being. And for my She Smiles Without Fear story, what had to happen in my mind, I was, especially in those initial days where the trauma was still so fresh, I had to spend less time asking why and more time asking now what. I had to spend less time trying to understand and more time trusting the God who had led me there. And so I think a lot of times when we have trauma in our life or loss or anything that sparks fear, we have that why question. And there's nothing wrong with that why question. But if we stay there, that can really wear on our faith. So that movement from the why question to the, okay, God, you're still here. You love me. You're still perfectly good, even though that's hard to grasp in my circumstances. It's, okay, but now what? Because you're with me, you want to use this. There is purpose in my pain. So now what? What are we doing together here with Judah as you have him? Now what? And again, just that wrestling that we have with understanding, what does this mean? And why did this happen to me? Instead of wrestling with the understanding, which God is perfectly capable of meeting you there, and he does, but just deciding, this is who God says he is in his word, and I need to trust here. Because if I continue to grapple with understanding, that can wear on my faith as well. And the enemy really loves to use that ground to tear our faith down. So Proverbs 3:5-6 just comes alive even more deeply, where he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You know, we have to put our trust there, because if we continue to try to grapple with understanding, I mean, it's just being obedient to his word, honestly. And he knows that. He knows that about our minds, that when we continue to grapple to try to understand things that really are inexplainable for a time, that will wear on our faith. And let me just share one story in the scripture that really brings me encouragement, is where Jesus, he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to the cross, but he's sitting with his friends, and he takes off his robe and he gets down on his knees and he begins to wash their feet. And of course, Peter has an objection to that. He says, why of course I let you do this? Like, Peter was the one who's always speaking out. Hey, I don't understand this. Hey, I don't understand this. Right. You know, he's not saying I don't understand this, but he's saying, you know, no, Lord, this way. No, Lord, yeah, that way. And Jesus simply says to him in John 13:7, what I'm doing now, you do not understand, but afterward, you will understand. What did Jesus mean there by afterward? After his resurrection, after his crucifixion? I don't know. I don't know when Peter understood and got the clarity, but that brings me so much comfort. I take those words of Jesus for myself, and I say, you know what, Kendra, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but afterward, you will. And that afterward might be when I rise in heaven with him. Like, it might be there, but the clarity will be there. And every single bit of this devastation and these difficult circumstances will absolutely be worth it. I believe that promise with all my heart. So
read that verse again, because that is, I just love, especially as we talk about this word. I mean, I feel like what we've really landed on is understanding and our desire to understand, but our lack of ability in the current finite earthly circumstances that we find ourselves in. And so I just love how that applied, how Jesus just, that's such a powerful verse when we consider our desire to understand and our inability to understand. So read that one more time.
Absolutely. John 13:7, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.
Love that. And, you know, I want to ask you, Kendra, if there were any, because also in the Bible study, I love this, the lean on piece of Proverbs 3:5-6 that you said, and the way that in this particular verse, it says, do not lean on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. I think that's a natural thing that we want to do. Yes. We want to understand. And so whether we notice that we're desiring to lean on our own understanding or not, we seek that.
Oh yeah.
We seek the understanding. And a piece of the Bible study that I wrote about actually came out of a circumstance where my father was dying, and I found myself seeking understanding.
Oh yeah.
Seeking to figure it out. Yes. And I think that there's even one kind of paraphrase of Proverbs 3:5-6 that says, don't try to figure it out. You know, just a really loose paraphrasing that's just, don't try to figure it out. But it's just such a natural. And so I'm thinking of you in this circumstance with your son. And, you know, there's a lot of information, a lot of knowledge available for us to acquire that we think can maybe aid us in handling, and it can aid us in handling things, but then we take it and we try to figure out what the future holds because of what we can acquire, because of information we can acquire or understanding that we can find. And then we try to figure out the future. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest, when I was in that situation, I knew what the Bible said. I knew that it said, do not lean on your own understanding. And I remember having kind of this conversation with God, like, I know that I'm not supposed to seek my own understanding here. I'm supposed to rely on you, but it feels safer to figure it out for myself. And so my desire really was to ask God to give me understanding instead of simply seek and rely on Him. I'm curious if you experienced any of that, and if so, how did you make that shift? Was there anything you did practically to try to stop seeking understanding and simply seek Jesus?
Yes, of course. And Katie, I love how you said, you know, how you, you know, had a conversation with God about those things. We had some downright arguments. I mean, I had my son so tightly gripped in my hands, you know, as we all do as parents, to open up those hands and say, I trust you with my son, after I found out how traumatic and devastating this actually was to him. You know, it was an act of surrender that could have only come about by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in my heart. I remember the time well. I was sitting at the end of the hospital bed, you know, that scene, tubes everywhere, machines, lots of medicines going on, and my sweet Judah just sleeping there in that bed. And I had my elbows on my knees and my head down, and I opened up my hands, and I was alone in the room with him. And I just said, Lord, I can trust you with him if you take him home. And that was a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. I don't think a parent can ever get to that place without the Lord. And I think going on from that point, when I finally opened up my hands and put my son in the Lord's hands, I had to do it. And I still have to do it a million times, Katie. I still have to put him back in those perfectly loving hands of the Heavenly Father all the time. But the shift only happened for me as I continued to come to Jesus authentically. So there was a point when I wanted to run. I wanted to quit my faith, basically. I wanted to say, I quit. You know, I was frustrated. I was angry. I was hurting deeply. And I thought, Lord, if, you know, this is the way it's going to be, then I can't do it. I cannot do it. And the Lord met me in that moment with a scripture. It was from Psalm 139 that says, but where can I go from your spirit? If I go here, you are there. If I go here, you are there. He reminded me, no, sweet daughter, like, you are not running from me. We're going to get through this together. And then immediately after that, when I came to that quitting point, the scripture came to me, that the disciples said to Jesus after he asked them, after a difficult teaching, will you leave me as well? And they respond, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. And he brought that to mind in that very moment for me, Katie, when I wanted to quit. I did want to, because it scared me being in the ocean of the unknown. Even though I knew Jesus was with me, I thought, you know, I thought we kind of had a contract. If I serve you faithfully, I'm loving you, I'm sharing you, then you protect me and my family. This is the deal that I had in my mind, you know, and we don't encounter these super deep, difficult things because, you know, we're blessed. And there were some beliefs in there that I had to line up with scripture and get with the Father about. because he had so much more than that for me. And I was fearful when I was in that ocean of the unknown. But what I continued to do and what the Holy Spirit empowered me to do, Katie, was to continue to come to him authentically. And he met me through his word. He met me through other believers with exactly what I needed in those moments. And sometimes that was silence. Sometimes there wasn't an answer for me, but there was God's presence in those moments. There was his presence, like, that I could sense so deeply that that was good enough for me. And so practically speaking, I think for anybody who's going through that difficulty of I'm reading what you're saying, Lord, and you know what? I do believe it. I'm just not feeling it right now. Right. Him and tell him that. Help me see this. And God helped me shift my focus to the cross constantly, Katie, because you know what? For some reason, maybe it's because of my story, but I doubted God's love for me when he allowed my son to go through this. I struggled with doubting his love for me because of some kind of misunderstanding I had in my mind about him. And what he continually pointed me to that said, "No, daughter, like, this is my love for you," was Jesus on the cross. Like, our circumstances do not dictate God's love for us. Mm-hmm. So when he would shift my vision to the cross again and again, when I looked at Judah, Katie, I was so scared and unsure and devastated. And when I looked at the cross, I could keep going because I knew that he had done that for this reason, for this brokenness, for this type of heartache. That's why he went to the cross for us, Katie. And that's why we have an eternal life where we don't have to feel any of this pain. And so that cross, that looking to the cross, and I had to do it myself, Katie. I had to choose to remember his love on the cross because, you know, when I was in that bed with my son, when I was praying over him with my hands on him and you know, experiencing these things that you just can't put into words as far as the wounding of that goes, it was too much. And so I had to look to the cross, and that is where the hope really kept me able to put one foot in front of the other.
I absolutely love even just the visual, what we can visualize, the difference between your eyes fixed on the brokenness and the fear and the uncertainty with your son, and then the choice to move your, and while your physical eyes, I know, can't look at the physical cross, the Bible, you even have, like, if you need a physical place to look at the cross, we have it recorded in Scripture. You can go read that. And the picture is there. And I just, so much of what we're talking about is in week three of the Bible study, when we learn to shift, instead of relying on ourselves, we rely on our Savior. And even what you're talking about with this perspective shift, you know, we talk about, even when we come to God in prayer, how often we start with what's going on. We start with what we're afraid of. We start with our circumstances. And so, yes, I mean, God absolutely says, cast your cares on me. Anything that you are anxious about, tell me about it. Talk to me about it. But the shift that is so vital is that we start with this picture of Jesus. Or, and maybe, you know, for you, Kendra, it was always remembering and seeing the cross and the love of Jesus on the cross. Some of us need to remember the power of God, which goes hand in hand with the cross, because the power of God raised Jesus from the dead, you know? And so I think the cross is, but we've got to start there, because when we start, and this is, I think, what you just gave us testimony to, when we start with our circumstances, so often we will filter what we believe about God through our current circumstances.
Yes.
We will start to make decisions about God based on what's happening right now in our lives if we start with our circumstances. But what happens is when we flip it and we start with God and we start with what is true about Him, what is true about His love for us through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son Jesus. When we start with what is true about Him, the creator of all things and the orchestrator of all things and a God with a plan that unites us with Him in heaven when this thing is all said and done on earth. You know, when we start with what is true about Him, then what happens is we can filter what's happening in our lives through the truth of God. We start to see what's happening in our lives a little differently because we start with the truth about God. And that sounds like what you just described to us.
Yes, that's absolutely right. That is exactly what happened. You know,
one other thing, and I want to ask you about this because I was listening to you as you were talking about walking through this circumstance with Judah and you're still in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if you can, if you have anything to add here, because what I heard from you is how you were reminded of different scriptures at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be reminded of those scriptures, my guess is that you knew them.
Oh yeah.
You already knew them. And so for the woman who is not necessarily living out her worst case scenario right now,
mm-hmm.
There's a way to prepare now for an unknown future.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with God's word, because you just constantly over and over, as you shared about what happened with Judah, it always came back to God's word and what He showed you in the sustenance that you received from that, whether you were reading it at the moment or whether it was recalled because you already knew it. So can you talk to me a little bit about how you may have prepared for this unknown without even realizing that you were?
Oh, absolutely. Katie, one thing that I have done since college is write out scriptures on index cards, post them on my bathroom mirror, post them above my sink. I had them in my car at different points on the journey, and spend some intentional time. And it only takes a few minutes a day to read through those index cards and not only read through them silently, but declare them out loud. Because as we hear, not only is our faith increased according to the word, but it helps us to memorize. And scripture memory has been so important in my life ever since I started walking with the Lord. And I can see how He used that through this difficult time and how He uses it continually every day. The second thing that I would add to that is being in His word consistently is so important. And I know we all feel a little bit like failures in that because we have seasons where, you know, I've been able to be more consistent in seasons where, oh, I barely got in 5 minutes or I didn't even get to get in the word today. You know what? Those index cards really help with that. Because if you can't sit down and read a chapter, you can read a verse while you're washing the dishes that's posted above your sink and really let that word take root in your heart, and it will grow up and bear fruit in your life. And just a quick little story about how God met me in His word. I was coming to His word consistently, but one morning I was particularly down, and I had woken up and come down to the kitchen table where I spend my time with the Lord. And I opened up to the story, Katie, about the parable that He used about the end times, where there are some goats and there are some sheep. And where the Lord reminds us, you know, this is when you took care of me, when you did it to the least of these. He gives the examples, you know, you visited me when I was in prison. You fed me when I was hungry. And guess what the next one is? You took care of me when I was sick. And He says, as surely as you did it to the least of one of these, you've done it to me. And that morning, Katie, I came downstairs discouraged and afraid of caring for my son with his medical needs. When I read that, you took care of me when I was sick. I cried, first of all. God met me in that moment. He gave me the exact words I needed, Katie, to go and empowered me to care for my son and confidence as unto Him. as she.
And that's a perfect example of the difference between relying on yourself and relying on your Savior.
That's exactly right. You came
downstairs with the burden on your own shoulders, and then he reminded you, no, I got this.
Yes. And that, it hit me right where I was. And that's what his word will do, friends. Like when we are coming to it consistently, when we are using those little note cards and memorizing it, it works. It's that living hope, that living word, living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword that we need in our lives.
That is so practical and not hard to do. And I just pray that those of you who have joined us for this conversation are as encouraged as I have been. I'm just so thankful, Kendra, for your honesty in this process that you are still living out. And I just feel like you've given us so many practical things that we can go apply, whether we want to prepare for an unknown future right now, or whether you are listening and you're in the midst of your worst case scenario. If nothing else, to know you're not alone. And we are going to put how you can connect with Kendra through Instagram and her website. We're going to put that in the show notes. And she is just full of this wisdom and hope and joy that you can continue to receive from her if you want to connect with her. Kendra, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Katie. And just to say, I love connecting with women who are walking a road of suffering. So reach out.
Yes. Thank you, Kendra. And thank you all for joining us on the Best Day Ever podcast. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Have a great day.